last words of people approaching their end. The last words. People don't forget those words, right? So I do not know if you have somebody who has passed and you still remember their last words. Often, last words can trigger life-changing experiences. Now, this is how I want us to understand the gospel reading that we just heard. In fact, not just today's, but the last couple of weeks, the readings from this section of John that we've heard is called the farewell discourse. These are the last words of Jesus. It begins in chapter 13 with the Last Supper. And the next four chapters is a monologue by Jesus. And they contain not only the last words, but important teachings of Jesus. In chapter 18, we read that Jesus goes out to the Kidron Valley to a garden and is arrested. So from 13 until the end of 17, it's the farewell discourse. And today we are hearing from kind of the middle of the 14th chapter of John. And because these are last words, we must pay special attention to them. Because these are the last words, not just of our mom and dad or grandparents or husband or child. They are very important. But these are the words of Jesus, our Savior. Salvation itself. So let's hear it. There are three sayings from today's gospel section of Jesus's, from today's section of Jesus's farewell discourse that I want to focus on and draw some practical implications. So first, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my word and my Father," all that, but "if you love me," and then he puts it negatively later, saying, "but if you do not love me." See, over the last 2 weeks, we have heard Jesus give his disciples a new commandment. And what was that? He said, "love one another." He doesn't stop there. He says, "as I have loved you, so should you love one another." But he said, today the focus is not that. Today, the focus is on a disciple's love for Jesus. If you love me. Now, love means many things, and we can talk about love in many ways, but I want to keep it simple. Think about it this way. Who is the person you love the most? Who's the person you love the most? Can you recall? Can you call that person? Maybe there are more than one. Who is that one person for whom you could die? Who's that one person about whom when you talk, there are tears in your eyes? Do you love Jesus like that? Let me take you a step further. Unless we love Jesus with a passion, and I don't mean arrogance. Sometimes people think about, "I love Jesus with a passion. It means, I mean, there's a sense of arrogance. I love Jesus and you don't, and I'm going to heaven and you want to go to hell. That's not what we mean by that, right? Loving Jesus with a passion means a sincere devotion to Christ. Unless we love Jesus with a passion, living the new commandment, which is love one another, is not possible. Only if we love Jesus with everything that we've got in us will we be able to love others in the way Jesus asks us to love them. Hence, the importance of the question, if you love me. Take that thought with you home this week. Secondly, the advocate. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything. That's the second statement that I want to focus on. As Jesus plans his departure from this world, Jesus tells his disciples that his presence will be replaced by the Paraclete. So Jesus is no more physically with them, but his presence does not leave a vacuum. It's replaced by the Holy Spirit. For that matter, Jesus creates a parallel between his presence and ministry and that of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So here are the parallels. Just as Jesus was sent by the Father, so is the Holy Spirit sent by the Father. Similarly, the mission of the Holy Spirit is also the mission. Sorry, the mission of Jesus is also the mission of the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus taught the disciples, now the Holy Spirit will teach the disciples. Just as Jesus was with the disciples, the Holy Spirit will be with the disciples. Just as Jesus' teaching revealed the Father, so the Holy Spirit will recall and continue to reveal the Father to the disciples. More than anything else, the parallel between Jesus' presence and the presence of the Holy Spirit tells us that we cannot do without the Paraclete. And unfortunately, you know, because the Holy Spirit does not have this tangible image that we can connect with. With Jesus, we connect as a person. But with the Holy Spirit, you know, it's the fire, it's the water, it's the dove. I mean, who has a relationship with a dove, right? And so it's difficult to imagine and to personify the Holy Spirit. Yet, what Jesus is teaching us is that without the Holy Spirit, I mean, we're done. We're lost. So we are merely 1 weekend away from Pentecost. Next weekend is the seventh Sunday of Easter, and then it's the Pentecost. Each day in the coming weeks, I'm asking you, is it possible that we earnestly pray for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit into our lives? Because without the Holy Spirit, we can't do it. And if you're trying to do it, probably we are struggling. If our heart is not burning out of passion for Jesus, maybe we need a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I have no magic formula to make that happen, except, folks, just to be a people who are saying, Jesus taught us that we need the Spirit. Dear Spirit of God, come and do your thing. Do your thing. Let the Holy Spirit renew our lives, our church, and our world. So take that thought with you this week. And finally, peace, Jesus says. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Then he qualifies it. He says, not as the world gives do I give it to you. So before he leaves, Jesus leaves a precious gift with his disciples. What is it? A peace that the world cannot give. The peace that Jesus offers is his peace. And this qualification is the difference that makes it something that the world cannot match. Why is it the peace that the world cannot give? Because it only comes from Jesus. Now, what's the difference between the peace that Jesus offers and the peace of the world? The peace that the world offers comes from an absence. The peace that Jesus offers comes from a presence. The peace that the world offers is the absence of conflict. So we say there's no peace in the world right now. Why? Because there is a war in Ukraine. The moment that ceases, you might say there is peace in Ukraine. But that's not peace. It's just the absence of conflict. The peace that Jesus offers comes from a total well-being that God's presence brings. I'm going to explain this just a little bit more. The English word peace is a very weak translation of the Hebrew word shalom. The Muslims say salam. Besides peace, shalom or salam includes harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, tranquility. That's what the word shalom stands for. So again, going back to the example of the war in Ukraine, if the war ceases in Ukraine, we would claim that peace has been declared. However, peace is not just that there's no war. Rather, peace means that every human person, not just the rich, not just the famous, not just the movie stars, every human person is blessed with harmony, with wholeness, with completeness, with prosperity, with welfare, with tranquility. And Jesus came so that the world may know this kind of peace. And that's the peace that Jesus says, I give to you. So you see the disciples, even though they were persecuted, even though they had to face threats to life, they were cool with it because they were in peace. They knew something that the world did not know. They went on proclaiming the gospel. They died, but never without the peace of God. It's beautiful. So these days, we can easily succumb to the peace that the world offers, the kind of peace that comes from worldly beliefs and ideologies. Or, in prayer and reflection, we can open ourselves to the peace that Jesus offers. Where are we looking for peace in our lives? So take that thought with you. So folks, Christ gave his farewell discourse at the Last Supper. I'm concluding with this. So today in this Eucharist, we are at that Last Supper, isn't it? This is a reliving of that Last Supper, which means what? Today Christ is speaking the farewell discourse to us, and we hear. We listen carefully. As we listen to those words, let us dedicate our lives to Jesus. May we love him more. May we allow the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, to invade our lives. And let us become the instruments of the kind of peace that Jesus gives. People of God say.